The following is a North Carolina Baptist resource. For more, visit ncbaptist.org.
My name is Ashley Allen, and I serve as a senior consultant for Embrace and Women's Evangelism and Discipleship. We're going to get started with the animated video that we developed this year. It's what we affectionately refer to as our Donna video. If you were in the main session this afternoon, you saw an abbreviated version of it, but I want to show you the entire version now.
This is the story of Donna.
Donna has been a follower of Jesus since she was a little girl. She's never been to seminary, but she understands Jesus' command to make disciples. As Donna goes about her daily life, three women stand out to her: Lisa, Anna, and Mercy. Lisa is her young college-age cousin, Anna is her co-worker, and Mercy is the cashier at her grocery store. Recently, Donna's cousin Lisa moved to Donna's town to attend college. Donna regularly invites Lisa over for meals, and when she's running errands, she calls Lisa to tag along. Lisa's noticed small things that are different about Donna's family. They pray during meals, and they're always kind to one another. When Donna can, she offers biblical wisdom about the difficult things in Lisa's life. Donna has had the opportunity to share the gospel with Lisa, but Lisa isn't ready to follow Jesus just yet. Anna from work is somewhat difficult to engage in conversation. However, Donna has started to faithfully pray for Anna, and one day the Spirit prompts her to invite Anna to lunch. Surprisingly, Anna says yes, and the two hit it off. As they go to lunch more often, Anna opens up to Donna about her difficult home life. Donna lovingly points Anna to Scripture and prays with her regularly regarding these things. Anna finally asks what that means, and Donna is able to share the gospel. Over the next several weeks, Anna has many questions about Jesus, the cross, and what it means to follow him. Anna finally prays to receive Christ in the deli where they've shared lunch every Wednesday for the past 2 years. Finally, there's Marcy, the cashier. Donna talks with Marcy every Saturday when she grocery shops. In their exchanges, Donna has learned that Marcy is a single mom who works long, hard hours. Donna prays often for Marcy and shares nuggets of the gospel whenever possible. One Saturday, Donna does not see Marcy at the store. Donna learns Marcy's son has had a concussion and is in the hospital. Donna immediately goes to visit. Marcy is very surprised to see Donna. Donna prays with Marcy and talks to her about Christ and his sovereignty. Donna's story touches Marcy, and she prays to receive Christ as her personal Savior. These three women stood out to Donna as she journeyed through the routines of her life: Lisa, Anna, and Marcy. Donna allowed the Lord to work through her in the lives of these three women in very different ways. She was faithful to build genuine relationships with the goal of sharing the gospel. This is called evangelism. Both Anna and Marcy came to faith in Jesus Christ, and Donna began teaching them about their new life in Christ. She walked through Scripture with them, introducing them to the fundamentals of the faith. She pointed them to a local church where they followed the Lord in believers' baptism, and then they joined in corporate worship and Bible studies. They learned to apply Scripture to their lives. They learned to pray biblically, and they learned how to share their faith. This led them to begin building relationships with other women with the goal of sharing the gospel. This is called discipleship. Donna's story is simple. She did what Jesus said to do: to make disciples. This is disciple making. The culture of Donna's church is one of disciple making, and the women's ministry is an integral part of this culture. It's a church culture defined by a clear understanding of sharing their faith and making disciples who make disciples. It's a culture where their women's ministry leader has provided opportunities for them to be biblically equipped to share their faith. And it's a culture where sharing the gospel and discipling others is the norm. What about your women's ministry? How are you making disciples?
So tell me what you heard in Donna's story. First, what were Donna's qualifications to share the gospel, to be a disciple maker?
She was a Christian.
She was a Christian. Did she have any other qualifications? No. Did she need any other qualifications? No, she didn't. If you're in here today and you name the name of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have been given a command to go and to make disciples, the same thing that Donna did. Second thing, who is in Donna's circle?
Lisa,
Anna, and Marcy. Okay, these three ladies, where were they in her circle?
Family,
co-worker, cashier. How many of you off the top of your head can think of a family member that doesn't know Christ? How many of you can think of a coworker or a neighbor that doesn't know Christ? What about somebody that you see when you are out shopping, that you see the same person every time you go shopping? Those are all people that God has placed in your sphere of influence. So you don't even have to pray, Lord, bring someone to me that I can share the gospel to. He's using this to show you. You already have people right around you that he's already put there. Okay, third question. How did Donna begin reaching each of the ladies?
She made a real relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She made real relationships. She wasn't bait and switch where she was like, okay, I'm just doing this so that they, you know, I can share the gospel. And if they don't pray to receive Christ, like I'm dropping them. That wasn't her intent at all. She built genuine relationships with them. And how did she do that?
By listening.
Praying.
Offered biblical wisdom,
right? Caring, yeah. With her cousin, Lisa, when she was going to the grocery store, hey, Lisa, you want to come along? It wasn't that she had to carve out extra time in her week. She just asked Lisa to join her in what she was already doing. So sometimes when we think of disciple making, I've heard women say before, I don't have extra time to do that. And you know what? You don't need extra time to do that. I can't tell you how many times I've had people in the car with me that we're just talking. We're talking. And you steer those conversations to talking about the gospel and talking about Jesus. And what do you think? How do you think about that? And that's what that means. And that's what that looks like. Okay, finally, what did Donna share with the ladies in her circle?
Most of all herself.
Mm-hmm. She shared herself. But what did she share of herself?
Her love for Jesus.
Her love for Jesus, right. That overflowed in her life. And I think one of the things that always stands out to me, because it stood out to me again when I watched this video, and I've seen it 10,000 times since we got it in June finalized, is that one of the things that struck her cousin Lisa was her kindness. A couple months ago, we had a team in Boston that was serving alongside one of our church plants. And I remember what our church planner said the morning we went out to hand out granola bars and to hand out coffee at a Subway station. He told us, our group of North Carolina women, he said, be sure you smile. He said, it goes an awful long way up here. And it did. It went an awful long way for people to say, people around here don't normally do that, and to stop and talk with us. Kindness exudes Christ. So kindness can go a long way. All right, so let's talk about how we can share the gospel in conversation. How has Christ saved you personally? Can you share your testimony? This is what I want you to do. This is going to be an interactive breakout session. I want you to turn to the person next to you. I don't care if you know them or not. You may never see them after today. Everybody find a friend. Like, I need to see heads turning. All right. And what I need you to do is I want each of you to take a minute and a half to share your testimony and how you came to faith in Christ. So I will tell you when a minute and a half is up so the other person can go. Are you ready? Go. Okay. So how many of you were able to share your testimony in a very succinct manner with the person next to you? Okay. How many of you struggled? It's okay to admit. All right. Sometimes we're in situations where we do have an extended amount of time where we can talk with a person to tell them, this is how Christ has changed my life. But sometimes we are in situations where we might just have a couple minutes to say something to somebody. So one of the things that we have started using with our mission teams and training women to use are what we call bridge sentences. So using the bridge sentences helps you just have a succinct way to share the gospel. So basically what a bridge sentence It's two words to describe you before Christ, so your life before Christ. It's two words to describe your coming to Christ, and two words to describe you since you came to Christ. And then asking, do you have a story like that? So if you look at this handout here, it matches here. So, for example, when our mission team went to Boston back in September, we used this to train them because we knew that we would be in situations where we would have mission projects, but we would also be on buses. We would be on the subway. We would be in lines standing. And the fact of the matter is, when we had these North Carolina women in Boston, we stood out simply every time we opened our mouth. And so that was a great opportunity and bridge there in and of itself. But we didn't want to neglect that opportunity at all. We wanted to have just the chance to tell people about why we were in Boston. But you know, wherever we are, this is a great connector to talk about, to begin building a bridge with somebody else that opens the door for a gospel conversation. So this is how this works. This is an example for me. There was a time in my life when I strove to get the approval of other people, and I tried to be perfect. But I heard about Jesus Christ and his death for me, and that in Christ I am accepted, and that I don't have to strive for excellence because he has already paid everything for me. So since that time, I have been growing in living in his grace and living in his sufficiency. Do you have a story like that? Really simple. And really good just way to ask someone else, to ask them and allow them to ask you, what does that mean? Now, let me give a little clarifier here. This blank here is what all this is. So you're going to have two words to describe your life before Christ, two words to describe coming to Christ, and then two words after coming to Christ. And then asking, do you have a story like that? This blank here, and I just say this from experience a couple months ago, is not to put your entire testimony into thinking that that is going to fit in a sentence. This is going to be your succinct way of sharing your testimony with someone else. So I want to give you about the next 3 minutes to think through what are your two words before Christ, what are your two words coming to Christ, and your two words after coming to Christ. And then you're going to practice with one another. Mm-hmm. Have you ever, were you know like you confessed him as Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Okay, then that would be your moment here. And then whatever was before that would be here. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
It does just tough.
Yeah.
But I remember.
Yes.
What about that?
Right. And I know that there are some, let me address that. I know there are some that you were like, I was 5 years old when I prayed to receive Christ. Like, that's when you can say here, I was without a Savior. What brought you to the Lord? That's where you fill in that before Christ. How can you sum that up in 2 sentences? And y'all, this doesn't have to be, I was a drug dealer. And like, you know, I mean, like, it doesn't have to be that at all. Like, it may be, I grew up in a Christian home. I always heard the name of Jesus, but there was one day where I understood I was a sinner in need of grace. Does that make sense? Okay. The fact that God saves people is miraculous in and of itself. We don't have to like exaggerate the story. So the cross part is how you came to Christ. Yes. So like did you hear about Jesus? Did you hear about his love? Did you hear about his mercy? That would be what would go here. And it would be different for every person. Okay, ladies, because we only have a few minutes left in this breakout section, actually. Is there anybody that wants to stand up to tell us their 6 words? Okay, thank you. You're either among friends or strangers, so.
Okay, so there's a time in my life when I was really lost and lonely, and I accepted Christ when I was 13. So at that time, I was getting beaten, and there's a lot of abuse in my household. So I would get on the church buses that my mom would put me on, and I went to this Baptist church, and there's these people, and they were talking about Christ, and how he took on a beating for our sins, and he was hung on the cross. And for someone who got beaten every day, that was big for me, because I was like, nobody would actually stand up and do that for someone else. And so for me, at that time, I accepted Christ. And then since then, he has really guided me through a lot of tragedies and traumas and comforted me. And so without him, I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Good. And your follow-up sentence?
Oh, what was that one?
Do you have a story like that?
Oh, and do you have a story like that?
Yes. Because that opens the door for them to say yes or no, and either to tell your story, and thank you for sharing with us, either to share their story or to start asking you questions about yours. Like, no, I don't have a story like that. This is something that it takes some time to work on. But it's good to start thinking about these things, because if you want to, you have to be intentional about sharing the gospel. You know, I have found that when women have a hard time sharing with other like-minded believers, then they're not going to do it with a lost person, because then they're like, I really don't know what to say. And y'all practice these things. It's not a bad thing to practice this at all. Now, like I told our mission team that went to Boston, I will tell y'all this. I told them, I don't want y'all running around Boston, or North Carolina. I have this one sentence, like, I'm going to share all over the state. So, like, that's not the intent or idea. But it's to get you thinking about what is a good gateway to begin a conversation with someone else. Now, let's say that someone says, no, I don't have a story like that. How can you begin the next step in talking to them? And, you know, you think about even our world today, that we have a lot going on in our world. There are people all over, especially even this week in my home state of Texas. I was so elated Sunday to see, because I'm a marathon runner, to see Shalane Flanagan, who is a UNC grad, cross the finish line as the first American woman to win the New York City Marathon in 40 years. I was so elated to see that. And then 2 hours later, to see all that had happened in my home state, and was just devastated. But you know, there are people all over our nation and our world today that are like, what is wrong? And people are asking that question, what is wrong? And what an opportunity we have to explain God's true plan and his design for his creation. So in front of you today, you have this little booklet. It's called Life, Three Circles. And in a very rough form, this is what is on your handout, and also on this PowerPoint that is very difficult to see. But it looks so great on my screen, which I know affects none of you. But basically what Three Circles does is it allows you to begin a conversation with someone else to share the gospel. So I'm going to walk you through this, and it is presented in a different manner in the book, but using the same idea. So basically what I would start with is right here in this circle here, there is this world, and the world is broken. Now, what does it mean that our world's broken? What's sin?
No Jesus.
It's not the bad things happen.
It's not the way God originally designed. We were practicing this a couple weeks ago in the Baptist building, and one of the guys I was practicing with, he was like, well, we live in a broken world. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And he was like, it's broken. And I was like, and what does that mean? And he was like, I'm going to deck you. And I was like, tell me what it means. Like, because when we say broken to somebody that doesn't know Christ and doesn't know God's original design, that's so over their head. But if we explain something's wrong, and that's evident, this isn't right. There's something wrong. And it's because people are sinners. And basically what that means is they don't do what God said to do. And so because of that, our world doesn't function the way that it is supposed to function, because it doesn't function the way God designed it. So we call that brokenness. You can introduce brokenness there. But you know, our world is broken because people are broken. They don't function the way God designed them to function. And that's at a cooperative corporate level, But that's also at an individual level, because our world is made up of individual people. You think about your own life, and what you can share in this is, in this circle here, you think about your life. Where is it not right? And let them respond and answer. You can talk about your life as you share with someone else. And you can explain, like I would explain it this way. In my life, before I was 11 and prayed to receive Christ, like I said, you know, I was trying to be perfect and trying to do things the right way. And for me as a little kid, what that looked like was getting the approval of people, but at the same time, if they didn't approve of something, feeling crushed. That, you know, how did I disappoint them? Or being that, because I'm the oldest and I am a typical type A oldest child, like always trying to be the best and to be perfect at things. But you know what? When I wasn't perfect at everything, it was crushing. And none of that filled the void that was in me. And you can ask somebody else, like, what are you trying to fill in your void? You know, what are you doing? That may be education. That may be money. That may be success. Whatever it is, it doesn't make you whole. But the reason why it doesn't is because that's not the way God designed it. The way God designed it moves over here to this circle. In this circle, you would draw a circle. I always draw a heart, but you could also draw a little man and a little woman. And you can say, originally, the way that God designed our world is He created Adam, man, and Eve, woman. And He put them in His perfect world. But Adam and Eve wanted to do their own thing. God told them, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He gave them one command, and they broke that one command. But see, God is perfect. And when He created the world, it was perfect. And a perfect God can't be around someone that was going to disobey or sin against Him. So when sin entered the world, this is what we got for generation after generation to come. And this, and if I had a dry erase marker, I'd show you. It says sin at the top, and it explains that's how death entered the world. And I would draw a slash mark to explain. We were cut off from God. We didn't have a way that we could make back to God. But God, because He is God and He loves people, He wanted us to have relationship with Him. So He sent His Son, and this is where you draw this third circle. And it has a cross in it. He sent His Son Jesus to come to earth to make things right. Jesus was fully God, meaning He never sinned, but He was fully man. So He took on flesh and bone, just like you and I take on flesh and bone. But the thing was, because He was fully God, He was perfect. And He could be who made the way back to God for us. Because there was no way we could do that by ourselves at all. Nothing that we could do. So He went to the cross and He died for us. He took every sin, everything that makes us broken and separated from God, He took upon Himself. And He promised that on the third day He would rise again. And He did. And when He did that, He conquered death. And God gives us a choice. We get to choose if we want to turn from our own ways of trying to fill this void in our life and turn to Him and ask Him to forgive us and believe in Christ. And if we do that, then we can pursue the Lord in relationship with Him through Christ. And then you can ask the person, where do you see yourself in these circles? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. This is what I want you to do. We just have like 14 minutes, and they're really strict on time. So I want you to turn to your friend that you made, or the enemy that you made, whatever. And I want you two to begin walking through. We're going to take the next few minutes to do this, trying to share just the basics of this. And this, like I said, you're going to have to practice when you leave here. I hope you didn't come with the expectation of, I will have some magic bullet in my pocket that I can pull out now. Because you're not. I should have said that up front. But this is great to practice with a framework. And y'all, this fits in to anything in our world today. When you talk with people about world events, start here. This is why, you know, we live in a broken world. But anyway, turn to your friend. Take the next few minutes to practice. Okay, so how did we do? Okay, this is what I want you to do. How many of you have a smartphone?
What?
A smartphone. Smartphone or an iPhone or a dumb phone or whatever. Some way to access the internet. All right, I want you to pull it out. And there on the back, because you can probably see that better, of your handout, I put down just a bunch of different websites. A great thing to do to practice, and I did not anticipate this breakout session having so many people in it, but I'm grateful for every one of you. One of the things that I thought we could do in here but would be a great takeaway and assignment for you is to visit some of these news websites. People are always wanting to talk about what's going on in the news. Visit some of these news websites and think through, if someone were to start talking about this at work or in my community, how could I plant a nugget of the gospel? Think through those things. Last week, I went to Target. And when I was in Target, I was checking out, and I was kind of in a hurry. And this gentleman behind me, he came up, and the cashier, like, she was really focused on what she was doing. And she wasn't overly talkative. I mean, I think she didn't say more than hello when she was checking me out. But the gentleman came up behind me, and she looked at him and she said, hello. She said, how are you today? And he was like, well, let me tell you. He was like, this world is bad. And he starts talking about everything in the news. And the lady was, and he got very political. And the lady was like, and you could tell she was just like, that was like, yeah, like, I mean, like, I wanted a, I'm doing great. Or, you know, today's not my day. Okay, move on. But I thought, isn't it amazing how quickly he did that about something that really doesn't have any eternal value, and yet was so passionate about it so immediately, because I just was like frozen, just amazed at that. The flip side of that is a couple weeks ago, I was in a craft store in Raleigh, and I was walking around. I was actually trying to get decorations for our booth in the exhibit hall. And I could hear, I saw these two women standing in the aisle, one of whom was a Muslim woman and this other lady. And I didn't think, honestly, too much about it. And I was going down this one aisle, and when I got to the end of the aisle, kind of where they were in the larger center aisle, I could hear one of the women saying to the other, she was like, but I believe in Jesus. See, she said, this is how Jesus is different. And so she was just sharing the gospel with this woman. She didn't know this lady. She had just met her. And I, like, everything in me wanted to, like, run up and go help. But I thought, that's not what's needed right now. So I just stood in the aisle and prayed. But, you know, that was just the Lord using that woman. And y'all, that can happen wherever we are. But we have to be ready for it. You know, we're told in Scripture, be ready in season and out of season. Are you ready in season and out of season? So these are just some ways that you can start a gospel conversation with someone else. So if you're interested in more information, please don't hesitate to contact our office. We have information at our booth, but it's also on the back of the small card that has Embrace Roundtables in the front. Our contact information is on the back of that card. Are there any questions? Yes, your small cards. Up here at the front, if y'all will make me two piles, your evaluation form that I handed out earlier, and the small contact card, if you were able to fill that out, please. I want them up here, please. But can I, ladies, sorry, can I close this out in a word of prayer? Because one of the things that I think is crucial in the video that y'all saw earlier with Donna is we have to be prayerful. We have to be prayerful for the people around us and begin praying, Lord, show me by your Spirit how you want me to start a conversation with someone else. And I've never had a time where I've prayed, Lord, help me to be able to share the gospel today, that the Lord hasn't provided an opportunity. Now, sometimes I'm ignorant to those where at the end of the day, it was like, oh, yeah, that was it. You know, but pray that the Lord would keep your eyes open to that as well, but that he would show you Like, I'm moving here. Join me as I move. So let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you this day that you are hope and you are truth, Lord God. And in a world where we look around and we see things that seem hopeless, Lord, you are hope, Lord, a living hope. And we praise you and we thank you for that this day. And Father, I pray for these ladies, Lord, and for myself, Lord God. Jesus, help us to see where you are at work. And that, Father, that we would not shy away from opportunities to engage others, Lord, with the story of Christ's work in our lives, Lord God. Father, may we make the story about you and not about us, Lord God. Because, Father, you are the hero of our stories, not the other way around. So, Lord, help us even today to have eyes that are open, Lord God. But, Father, I pray that we would be faithful, Lord, to practice these things, Heavenly Father, to be ready, Lord, to join you in your work, Lord. May you be honored and glorified in us. It's in your holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.